Hey, this is Leo for Actualized.org. And in this episode, I'm going to be talking about the psychology of money, the deep root of all your money problems. I haven't spoken to you much about my dad, but the story of my dad was very instructive for me in understanding and shaping my relationship towards money. My dad is a very interesting character, and I don't have time to go into all the details of it, but in a nutshell, all my childhood and basically through my teens until I became an adult, the situation in my family with money was that my dad was the main breadwinner, and he was always off scheming and coming up with different business ideas. He was very entrepreneurial. And that sounds great, right? Except the problem was, is that every time he came up with some new endeavor for how to make money, it would start off sort of promising and good, and then it would collapse. And so then he would start a new endeavor, and then it would collapse, and then a new endeavor, and that one would collapse. And every single time it collapsed. And this happened over the course of 20 or 30 years, basically my entire life. And I grew up in this situation. And so although we were never poor, we were actually sort of like upper middle class, but we had this sort of sine wave. If you plotted our money situation over time, it would be a sine wave. Some moments it was a lot of money coming in, and other moments we had so little money that our electricity was turned off and we would have to light candles in the house because we had no lighting or air conditioning. So that was interesting. And that that whole situation ultimately led to the destruction of my entire family. Like literally that destroyed my entire family. And all of that came about because my dad basically was not conscious enough to recognize the inner game of money and the psychological neurotic obstacles that were there for him. The key insight that I want you to take away from this discussion is that money problems are not economic problems. They are not business problems. They are first and foremost psychological problems. This is very difficult for many people to wrap their mind around because when you have financial problems and you're struggling with money in whatever way, there's a lot of different ways in which you could struggle with money. You have too little of it, or you're spending too much of it, or you're hoarding it, or some other problem that you have with money. This is not fixed just by getting an infusion of cash. People think like, oh, well, if I just had more cash, however I could get more cash, that would solve everything. Actually, it's very counterintuitive. Because your problems are psychological. They're in here. They're not out there, no matter how much that might seem to be the case. So cash will not fix it. In fact, if you ever do get an infusion of cash, you might be surprised to learn, like some people who get it, that that doesn't really solve your problems. Your patterns continue. Your problems with money continue over and over and over again. It's the same thing as dysfunctional relationships, right? If you have a pattern of dysfunctional relationships, the problem is not the people that you're relating to. The way we would think, like, oh, this girlfriend here, she wasn't right for me, or this boyfriend wasn't right for me. No, it's an inner game problem. You're going to keep having those bad relationship problems over and over and over again until you realize that, A, I got to turn inwards and really take a look at my beliefs, attitudes, and my entire paradigm of relationships. And the same thing goes with money. See, money is really a hot button emotional issue. And this is interesting because we would maybe think that money is not an emotional issue. We might think that, oh, money, you know, it's actually a very cut and dried, rational sort of issue. Either you have the money or you don't. Either you're rich or you're poor. Either the economy is good or it's bad, or your business is doing good or it's doing bad. Like, look at the numbers. But money is very emotional. It's sort of like religion or like politics, right? These are sorts of issues that people get very heated about and very emotional about. And of course, that's exactly why there's so many problems in these domains of life. Because when we get emotional about stuff, we tend to make errors and we tend to go unconscious and not see how the actions that we take backfire on us. That was the case with my dad. It's probably the case with you if you repeatedly struggle with money. Also notice that with money, your relationship to money is largely shaped by your family's relationship with money. When you were growing up, when you were a kid and a teenager, think back and take a look at the overarching relationship that your whole family had towards money. Did your parents agree with each other about it, or were they fighting with each other about it? Maybe they had different philosophies. That's how it was with my dad and my mom. They had totally different philosophies about money. Or maybe both of them agreed, but they both agreed that money was very difficult to make, or that those evil corporations were responsible for making it so difficult for us to make money, or something like that. Or maybe the opposite. Maybe both your parents were very lavish, and they lavished you with money, and they were spending it left and right. So the key here to understanding money is to understand that mostly you adopted many of your beliefs and attitudes towards money in your childhood. Largely unconsciously, you just soaked it up from your environment. And now, though, as an adult, you live based on those patterns, or maybe if you're like me, actually in reaction against them. So like if your parents were very wasteful with money, then maybe now you react against it and now you're very stingy with money. Or the opposite. And some people think that, well, if I am just doing the opposite of my parents, that means if they were dysfunctional and I'm doing the opposite, that means now I'm healthy and functional. And actually, no. Often what happens is that you're actually swinging the pendulum from one end of the spectrum of dysfunction to the opposite end of the spectrum of dysfunction. And what you're living as an adult is you're living in reaction to those emotional problems that your parents endured and that then you had to endure as well. And what this does is when now you're an adult and you're facing money challenges, it makes it appear as though the money challenges are really external obstacles in the outer world. Like you don't have the right job, or you're not in the right business, or you just don't have enough money in your bank account. And these seem like external obstacles, but that's rarely the case. What I find is that external obstacles tend to be illusions. In fact, you got to turn inwards, take a look inside at your really core attitudes and paradigms about money. And then you will be able to solve almost all your money problems if you only get the inner game right. I'll tell you another brief little story. And that was when I was a teenager, I liked to read books like biographies. And one of my favorite biographies when I was a teenager was I read about Bill Gates. And I was really fascinated, and I read the history of Bill Gates and how he started Windows, and I also read about Apple Computer and stuff like that. And so this was happening in like Silicon Valley in the 1960s and 70s. And just from reading this book, I picked up some negative beliefs about money and about business. From reading this book, I got this image, because the narrative in the book was that it was such a heyday in the 60s and 70s with Silicon Valley that when I was growing up in the 90s, in the early 2000s, I actually felt really negative about my prospects at starting a business, because I felt like, well, Bill Gates and Steve Jobs could do it in the 1960s and 70s because that was the heyday. And now it's gone. All the big companies are already here and they all took over. And now how am I going to make my money? And I actually turned that into a limited narrative, and that held me back for a long time from starting my business. And I had to work through that and overcome that. And it was really funny because actually, while I had this very limiting narrative about my prospects in business, very ironically, those were like the most boom times, because I lived through the whole starting of the internet in the late 90s and early 2000s. That was the whole internet boom. And then also the mobile boom, which happened starting in like 2007 and through 2010. That was the mobile boom. And both of those had even more potential to earn money than the Bill Gates era and the Steve Jobs era. in the 1970s with Silicon Valley. But actually, because my mindset was so limited from this narrative that I just picked up from reading one book and misinterpreting what that book said, that that really limited me in what I was able to do until I undid some of that stuff. So the bottom line is that you really have to very carefully look and assess how you think about money and how you relate to money. Money is an entire domain of life. It's a huge area of life that requires a lot of work and knowledge to master. See, most people don't treat it that way. Most people think of money as like, oh, cash. That's what money means. It means cash. No, money for me is an entire domain of mastery, in the same way that intimate relationships could be a domain of mastery. Business could be a domain of mastery. Sexuality could be a domain of mastery. You know, consciousness or meditation could be a domain of mastery. So I can't go into all the details of how to master money, because that would be a very long discussion. You could have long courses and entire seminars about that. But what I do want to do is I want to help you to really wrap your mind around this idea that money is mostly a psychological issue rather than an external world issue. And the way we're going to do that is by just showing you what are all the psychological aspects that create money problems. Well, firstly, it's fears. Think about all the fears that you might have or people around you might have about money. For a lot of people, the prospect of not having money, not being able to pay your mortgage, actually conjures up a flight or fight response. And it can feel like you're dying when you aren't able to pay your bills on time, right? It can actually feel like you might actually get the sense that I'm going to go broke and then I'm going to be out on the street and I literally am going to die. That's how it could feel to you. And that could actually be coursing through your body, that emotion. And of course, that affects your entire attitude towards money. But you might also have other more subtle fears and anxieties with money. So that whole, of course, domain of fear and anxiety, that's all psychological. And then think about how that affects your performance in business, how that affects your performance at work, how that influences your strategic decisions when you're trying to plan or to save money or to decide what to buy, right? These emotions get in the way and they sabotage your performance. Also, there's this whole issue of emotional spending. A lot of people spend their money emotionally, not very rationally, and that creates all sorts of problems with them. We've seen celebrities who earn millions of dollars a year, who are on TV or in the tabloids, and we see about them having money problems. How could it be that they have money problems? They make so much money. Well, it's because if you have an emotional spending problem, which is psychological, it's purely psychological, then no matter how much money you make, you could be the highest paid celebrity in Hollywood and you will still have money problems. You see, Michael Jackson's a great example of this. There's also emotional hoarding, which is the opposite of emotional spending. So maybe, for example, you were like me and because your parents and during your childhood, you didn't have that much money. So now as an adult, you're actually kind of hyper vigilant and sensitive to that. And so you try to kind of defend yourself by building up a nice little nest egg for yourself, right? And that might seem like, well, I'm being responsible. What's bad about being responsible? That seems like a healthy relationship towards money. Except what happens when you're hyper stingy and you're hoarding money and you're using that as a sort of an emotional crutch? That's emotional hoarding. And then that comes back to bite you in the ass. That mechanism backfires. Because then, if you're like me, you know, I actually had to work through this because it was difficult for me to actually make important purchase decisions, to actually pull the trigger on buying a book or buying the right course or going to the right seminar, because I just had this emotional need to hoard money and not to spend it. And that bit me in the ass because I needed to spend it strategically to make important investments. There's also all the limiting beliefs that revolve around money. And there's so many of these that we pick up from our society and from our family. What are they? Well, here's a short list. The economy is not good enough. That's why I struggle with money. Corporations have all the power. That's why I struggle with money. I can't make big money in my field. Yeah, sure, if I was a doctor or a dentist or a lawyer, then I could make nice money. But because I chose to be a marine biologist, a yoga instructor, or an artist, because of that, that's why I struggle with money. Or maybe you have the belief that competition is too steep to earn good money. Or maybe you believe that there's just not enough to go around. There's only so much money, and there's 7 billion people on Earth. So because there's so many people on Earth, well, no wonder I struggle with money. Maybe you believe that. Or maybe you believe that you can't start a business because you don't have enough capital. And you need capital to start a business. And so therefore, there's this catch-22 that without capital, you can't start a business. And so that prevents you from starting a business. Or maybe you're not interested in business. Maybe you just have a 9-to-5 job, a regular career. And the reason you struggle with money, you believe, is because my boss is a jerk. That's why, Leo, it's because my boss doesn't appreciate me. And he's very stingy. And so, of course, that's why I struggle with money. What can I do about that? Or maybe you have the belief that it's your company. See, you work in a corporation, and it's the company who's stingy and who's screwing me over. What can I do about that? I can't change the entire corporate culture. Or maybe you believe that money is hard to make. That's a very common belief. Think about where that belief might have come from. Well, probably from your family, right? If money was difficult to make for your mom and your dad, then you will probably believe that it's actually difficult to make. Now, you might say, well, Leo, we all know money is difficult to make. Well, no, not really. You believe that because you've struggled with it for most of your life. But there are people out there who actually believe that money is easy to make. And it's pretty crazy once you get a little bit of success and you realize how money really works and you get your psychology, the inner game of money, dialed in, you can make money very easily. Very easily. It can be shocking how easy it is to make money when you dial in your inner game. And most people who I would tell that to, if they struggle with money, they can't even believe that. That's so far outside their paradigms that they can't believe that because their beliefs are so unconscious to them. When you believe something like money is hard to make, your mind doesn't hold it as a belief. Your mind actually thinks that this is true and this is how reality is. So it really shapes what's possible for you. That's why these beliefs are so critical. Or maybe you believe that money is evil. It's a source of corruption and evil in the world. And if you believe that, where did that belief come from? Well, probably from your family, right? If your parents thought that, maybe your parents grew up in a Protestant or a Catholic sort of upbringing, and they developed these beliefs about how money is the root of all evil, and then they imprinted those beliefs into you, and now you hold those beliefs. And you look around and you say, well, but Leo, it is evil. Look at all the damage that money does in politics, and look how much it destroys the environment, and how these corporations are so unethical in what they do with money. You know, money corrupts people, and money's all about power and this sort of stuff. And while that might be true for some people, that doesn't necessarily mean that money is evil. And if you think that money is evil, think about how that's going to limit your ability to make money. Because you're judging this thing called money. And you might judge that, oh, that guy right there, you know, he's so rich, he's a rich billionaire, and so he's evil. But guess what? You're also partaking in the game of making money. Maybe you aren't a billionaire, but still you go to a job and you make money. And while you judge him, you also secretly at the same time judge yourself for making money. And that can be a huge limiting belief. Or maybe you have limiting beliefs like, oh, that thing right there is too expensive. I can't afford that. I could never afford that. I could never afford $1 million house, and I could never afford myself that car, or I could never afford to go on this kind of vacation. And then that becomes true for you. Some people have this belief that everyone is trying to scam them. It's like, oh, Leo, you're trying to sell me some sort of course or something, or some of these self-help authors. You know, I go to a seminar and then they try to upsell me on stuff. They're just trying to scam me. I know how it works. I know how it works. These self-help authors, all they do is they just write books. They don't help anyone but themselves. The whole thing is just a scam. If you have that kind of belief, then think about how much that limits you. When you need to go out, if you're going to be successful in life and you're going to be wealthy, guess what? You're going to have to hire people to help you. You're probably going to have to hire coaches, consultants. You're going to have to go to seminars, buy books and programs, and some of those could be very expensive. And if you think that all these people are trying to scam you, think about how many avenues you're cutting off for yourself with that one belief. Or maybe you believe that business is anti-spiritual. Think about how that limits your ability to do business. And you might say, well, Leo, I do believe that business is anti-spiritual, and that's why I don't have a business. That's why I just go to my 9-to-5 job. That's very funny, because when people say that, what are you doing when you're going to your 9-to-5 job? What is that? That's business too. So if you believe that business is evil and anti-spiritual, you've really painted yourself into a corner. Because again, secretly deep down inside, your mind knows that when you're going to your job, you are engaging in business. You have to engage in business in one way or another to survive. You need money to survive, you see. So you can't damn money. Because if you do, that means you're damning yourself. Not just the rich people, but you're also damning yourself at the same time. So you can start to see how a lot of these beliefs can be dysfunctional and how they can backfire. And a lot of these beliefs, they're just not true. They're constructions. They've been concocted by your mind or just picked up from your childhood environment. And they can be changed. You can take every one of these beliefs and flip them upside down into their polar opposites. And wow, when you do that, that takes some work. But when you do that, that will really change your struggles with money. Other facets of money that are psychological are playing the victim. A lot of these limiting beliefs that I said already play into this narrative of being the victim. But just to say a few more points about this, you know, a lot of people have excuses about why they struggle with money, as though it's inherently the norm, like it's natural to struggle with money. And so they have all sorts of excuses like, well, it's my boss, it's my company, it's the economy, it's the corporation structure, you know, it's the damn corporations who have taken all the best jobs. So now, you know, how can I compete with them as a one-man shop? All these excuses. But these are all excuses because you know what? Companies, if you're in a bad company, you can change companies. If you're in a bad industry, you can change industries. The economy, I made some of the most money I've ever made in my entire life during the worst economic time in my entire life, which is the 2008 crash. When that 2008 crash happened, the global collapse of the economy and the U.S. economy especially, the stock market tanked and all that, I was making more money at that time than ever in my entire life. Pretty funny, you know? So a lot of people have these sorts of excuses as though they're stuck in their job, as though they're stuck in their line of work, and they're stuck in their business, and they're tied to the economy. But the fact is that those are all excuses. And a lot of those excuses are emotional. Because you know what? It's scary to go out there and start a business. It's scary to change your career. It's scary to go into work and to ask for a promotion that you think you deserve, but maybe you're afraid that if you ask for too much, they'll fire you. I've been there. That's scary to do. So, of course, it's much easier to play the victim and to come up with all sorts of excuses. And that's emotionally based. Can you see how that's emotionally based? It's your fears that are creating your excuses, which are then making you play the victim, which are then leading to your money problems. Also, procrastination. Think about how procrastination reinforces your money problems. Procrastination with paying the bills, procrastination on starting your dream project or your dream business or procrastination on going back to school to learn the skills you need to get a better degree, to then be better at your job and then to earn more money. But you keep procrastinating on that again and again and again. What is procrastination? It's a purely emotional, psychological issue. Think about also materialism. The trap of materialism, thinking basically that money will lead to fulfillment and the solution to all your problems in life. A lot of people fall prey to this. And this entire attitude of materialism, what is this? This is based on beliefs, which are, of course, psychological. It's based on emotional needs that you have that you are trying to fill with materialism. It's this sort of emptiness or this void that you're trying to fill with materialism, which will never work. But you don't know that until you really know that, you see. A lot of people don't know that. Even when I tell them, they still can't believe it because this is such a counterintuitive thing. And that whole dynamic of materialism is purely a psychological problem. It's not an outer world problem. It's a psychological thing. Another problem with money comes from improperly earning money. There's a lot of different ways that you can earn money, and a lot of them are improper. What does that mean? Well, you can get involved with all sorts of businesses or schemes or multi-level marketing or whatever, which can earn you some money in the short run, but in the long run, it's going to lead to all sorts of disasters, which I can attest to because I've seen my dad do this over and over and over again. He was the master of finding ways to earn money that were really not proper and not wise. And what was that driven by? It was driven by psychology. It's that need to have an immediate result. It's that sort of impatience that you have, which is what everybody has when they go try to start a business using some get-rich-quick scheme. What is the get-rich-quick scheme preying on? It's preying on you wanting money now, which is, of course, an emotional trigger, and they know how to press that button in you so that you buy their get-rich-quick scheme, which rarely tends to work. And then that just fuels your struggles with money. Also, improperly prioritizing money. A lot of people put money way too high on their list of values because they think that, well, money should go above family and it should go above relationships and it should go above my ethics and it should go above consciousness and personal growth. And if you do that, you start to run into a lot of problems. But why do you prioritize money so highly? Again, probably because of fears and emotional needs that you have. Improperly investing money is also rooted in psychological problems. A lot of people make bad, terrible investments, and they fall prey to various financial traps that exist, such as credit cards, variable rate mortgages, various pyramid schemes and multi-marketing schemes, bad stock investments, bad real estate investments. And why do they do that? Well, because they're not very aware. It's an awareness problem. They're not aware of these traps. And also because they get seduced, emotionally seduced into these traps, because these traps offer something easy, something quick, something lucrative. And that's rooted in psychology. Another facet that's psychological about money is lack of long-term strategy. A lot of people don't sit down and actually create a long-term strategy for their finances. And then that leads them to just going with whatever's going to work in the short term. And that leads to disaster when it comes to your finances. Also, psychologically rooted is lack of discipline and lack of proper money habits. If you don't have the right habits financially installed in your life, you're going to struggle with finances. And if you lack the discipline with investing, with working on your career, with working on your business, that sort of stuff, you know, all that requires discipline. Checking your bank account statements, checking your expenditures versus your income. If you lack discipline in all those areas, and of course, discipline is largely a psychological problem. If you lack discipline, then you're going to have financial problems for the rest of your life. Also, lack of knowledge and education. Most people who struggle with money just don't really understand how money really works. They haven't taken the time to sit down and learn it. And that leads to disastrous results in your life. And why didn't they sit down to learn it? Well, it's probably a psychological issue, because they were too lazy or because it was too boring for them. They couldn't motivate themselves to learn about money, to master money, to educate themselves, or they thought that it wasn't necessary. And then that created problems. And lastly, avoiding and ignoring money. Some people, they might say, well, Leo, I'm a spiritual person. Maybe I'm a very artistic, creative person. I don't want to worry about money. Facts and figures, that was never my forte. So I'll just leave that to somebody else. And they ignore the whole situation. And that ends up being disastrous. Because if you avoid the issue of money, if you avoid learning about it and changing your early childhood beliefs, which are tend to be very naive, if you avoid getting the inner game of money dialed in because you just ignore it, that's probably rooted in some psychological, emotional stuff that you had going on in your childhood. And then what happens is disaster, because you can't really go through life and avoid this domain called money. It's a very big domain. You're going to run into it no matter what, whether you start a business or don't. Money is going to affect a lot of things in your life. So you can't just say, oh, I'm just going to avoid it. I'm just going to ignore it because it's not my forte. Can't do that. In the same way that you can't really go through life and say something like, well, you know, health's just not my forte. I'm going to ignore health. I'm going to ignore fitness. I'm going to ignore nutrition. If you do that, you will get terrible results in your life. You'll die a lot sooner than you should have. So I'm hoping that you're starting to see here how many psychological facets there are to money. They tend to be a lot more nuanced than we originally think. And because we don't look very deeply into them, it makes it appear as though money is an external obstacle, when in fact it's not. What I want to give you is I want to give you sort of a big picture ideal of what you should be shooting for when it comes to money psychology. What does healthy money psychology look like? Because I've been describing a lot of dysfunctional stuff. Well, here's a quick list for you. First is that you're fully aware of the trap of materialism, and you really understand that materialism does not work at all. It just cannot work. You will never be fulfilled by having money. And none of your other problems in life will really be solved by having money. Also, you've identified many emotional reactive triggers and hot buttons that you have with respect to money. So stuff that you need to buy, or fears you have from your childhood, or whatever emotional reactive patterns, you've identified those and you've become very aware of them. That's part of this big picture ideal. Also, you're non-ideological about money. You don't hold money as good or as evil. You really drop many of your beliefs about money so that you hold it as rather neutral. Also, you've made yourself aware of many of the money traps that have been constructed by society. What do I mean by money traps? Well, it's all the stuff like shopping, credit cards, mortgages, pyramid schemes, bad investments, the dangers of the stock market. You've educated yourself about these, and you're very wary of them, and you're not tempted, emotionally tempted, to get lured into these traps. Because make no mistake about it, a lot of these are traps that were very carefully designed by people to get your money. Also, as this ideal, you have an abundance mindset, which means that you don't think that money is limited and that you need to fight others and that it's a win-lose situation. You hold it as a win-win situation, that you can create abundance for yourself. That's an entire attitude that you have to develop. And it can be difficult to develop that if you grew up in a lower class or a middle class family where this sort of abundance wasn't there. It goes contrary to many of your direct experiences. It feels like a fantasy. And so there you have to work on your beliefs. And believe it or not, it's possible to develop that. Also, as part of this ideal, is you take 100% responsibility for your money situation. And you don't make any excuses or you don't blame anybody else. It's not your mom, it's not your dad, it's not the economy, it's not the president, it's not your company. It's only you, and it's your inner game that really makes the difference. And you recognize that. And that gives you all the power. Because now you can change that. Also, you're using money strategically. Investing it strategically. Mostly in yourself. So that the money is paying dividends for you. And you're taking a long-term view of things. So you're actually sitting down and you're planning out and you're strategizing with respect to money. Rather than just treating money as something that comes in or something that goes out and you sort of just kind of like look at it on a weekly or a monthly basis. No, you're looking at this more in terms of years and decades. You have a long-term view with respect to your finances. And lastly, as part of this ideal, is that you've really taken the time to position yourself in life so that money has become a byproduct of your deepest passion. This is very important. I've spent probably a decade of my life putting this puzzle piece in place because it's such an important puzzle piece. Money should come to you as a byproduct of doing your greatest passion. Not from just going to a 9-to-5 job and trying to pay the bills. You can get money that way, but that's so inefficient. That's so much less than you're capable of, and you will definitely have money problems if you don't set it up this way. And how do you set it up this way? Well, I have a whole course. You have to find your life purpose, which I have a whole course on, over 30 hours of content explaining how I set this up in my life so that my greatest passion is creating money for me. And you can definitely do that for yourself, but that takes work and a lot of explanation. So you might want to check out my course if you're interested in figuring that out. So that's sort of like the ideal that you're shooting for. Now, you might wonder, okay, Leo, but how do I actually do this? Because a lot of this stuff is abstract, and what I really need is money. Tell me how to make money. Well, that's the trap right there already. Is being too eager and too focused on just getting cash. What you need to do is you need to slow down and you need to actually turn inwards. Really turn inwards. Start to observe your money patterns. Start to observe your spending habits. Start to observe how you're earning income. Where is your income coming from and why is it coming from those places? What's motivating you to get that income? Is it just to pay the bills? Is that your motivation? And is that really a high quality motivation? See, you want to start to become more conscious of that. Apply awareness to the problem. That will fix a lot of stuff for you that will not be fixed just by getting cash in your pockets. Getting cash in your pockets does not fix almost any of these psychological aspects. In fact, it can actually make them worse. Then what you do is after you've been observing your patterns is you decide that you're going to master this domain. This is a whole domain of mastery in the same way that relationships are, fitness and health is, meditation and enlightenment is. You know, these are all different facets of life and money is a facet of life. And at some point in your life, you're probably going to have to say, okay, enough is enough. I can't just wing this anymore. I have to go read the books. I have to go find the expert advice. I have to maybe go take some training, some courses, some seminars, this sort of stuff. Get some coaching on this so that I've really mastered this domain once and for all, and then I can be making intelligent, strategic choices. And so you decide that you're going to master this domain, and then what you do is you get to work doing the research. Doing the research. Not get to work to earn money. Get to work doing research about money. People don't do this nearly enough. which means you got to go find the books, read the books, take notes on the books, go find the courses, go find the seminars, spend a few years doing this, go get therapy or coaching on your money issues from your childhood, release those needs, release those fears, look at your emotional triggers and buttons with respect to how you're spending money and why you need to be earning money. Take a look at this trap of materialism that you have, this idea that if I just had more money, then I could have all my problems in my life solved. And fix all that. And then you'll be in a good position. That will be a solid foundation that you're building. And after you do that, I think that the most important thing is life purpose. Find your life purpose and align your career or your business with that, so that your greatest passion is the source of your income in life. Be very careful about this trap of asking people to tell you how to make money. Maybe you watched this episode and you're thinking now, well, Leo, you've talked a lot about a philosophical abstract psychobabble, but you didn't actually tell me how to make money. Give me a 1-2-3-step formula for how I can start a business and make money. I deliberately didn't give that to you because you cannot become wealthy through some 1-2-3-step formula. It doesn't work like that. What you need to do is you need to build the foundation. Think about it this way. If we wanted to grow a gigantic tree that sprouted a lot of fruit, that could feed a whole village of people, what would we do? Would we spend all our time focusing on the leaves and the fruit of the tree? No. What we would do is we would spend all our time cultivating and strengthening the roots of the tree, making sure that it has the strongest root system possible, the foundation. And then the leaves and the fruits would take care of themselves. That's what you got to do here. Avoid the trap of just going for cash. That's never going to work. That's always going to backfire, and it's going to lead to this recurring problem of you struggling with money over and over and over and over again. I've been there. I've seen my dad do it. It's a very painful way to go through life. So what I decided to do early in my life is I said, you know what? I'm going to develop a deep foundation for my security, for my financial security in my life. That's going to be based on proper psychological mindsets and life purpose. And then from that, making money becomes easy. It's really effortless. And it becomes a joy because you get to go to work, do the things you love to do, and then money just pours in. And isn't that really what you want? But how do you get there? It's not by buying some sort of blueprint for some business in a box. Business in a box doesn't work. You're going to have to be creative in the end about how you go out and design your career and design your business. That's a very customized thing. No one can hand that to you. You have to figure that out for yourself. All that I can help you with, and others, if you decide to go read some books or take some seminars, I recommend that a lot. What they can do is they can get you to figure out the inner game, and then you're going to figure out the outer game as you go along, right? So don't get too hung up on the outer game stuff. So that's it. I'm done here. But before I let you go, I have a worksheet for you. So go down, take a look at the link below, click on the free worksheet, download it, and do the exercises. Those exercises will help you to take this abstract stuff and drill down and make it concrete. Because what I want to help you do is to actually really analyze why you behave the way you do with money. And that's difficult to do without doing the worksheet. So do this worksheet. It's very important. And that's it. I'm signing off. So please click the like button for me. Share this episode with a friend. Post your comments down below. And lastly, come to actualize.org right here. Come check it out. Sign up to my newsletter, sign up and stay tuned because I have a lot of other topics that I need to talk to you about for mastering your life. You know, to master your life, you really need to master multiple domains of life. If you just master one domain of life, you're going to be lopsided and your life's not going to go so well. And there's a lot of counterintuitive stuff that you need to learn about every single domain of life. And you know what? Your success in life is going to be directly proportional to how you can master the inner game, the psychology of relationships, the psychology of emotions, the psychology of business, the psychology of money, the psychology of health. If you can master the psychology of all of those and more, then you're going to have the strongest foundation, the strongest root system, and then the fruits that you will get will be so amazing that you will not even believe it. But it will take some time for that tree to start to sprout the fruit. Take some time. So what I encourage you to do is to buy into the vision. Decide that you're really going to take mastering your psychology seriously, that you really want to self-actualize, and that you're making this as part of your whole life journey, is to be growing. It's really the most fascinating thing you can do in your life, is to be growing and to be learning how to grow better. So that's what I'm here to do, is I'm here to support you with the theory, the techniques, the resources and ideas that you need to make that a reality. So stay tuned with me in the future, and I'll see you soon with more.